Now, as always, I don't like you guys to go without giving you a little message about the kingdom of God and a little bit more understanding about how we can work in that kingdom. And today's message is called Faith to Move Mountains. Faith to Move Mountains. You already have the faith to move mountains. You have it. Now, you may not have woke up this morning and decided, hey, guess what? Let's go move a mountain. Did any of you say that? Was that on your plan today? Probably not. But when I'm talking about faith to move mountains, I'm talking about whatever your mountain is. Your mountain might be a mountain of debt. Your mountain might be a sickness. Your mountain might be a coworker that's just a pain in your butt and you just don't know what to do about them because they bother you and annoy you every day. Your mountain could be, you know, some sort of stress that comes on you and you just feel stressed all the time and you're trying to get over that stress. So your mountain could be different from the person sitting next to you, right? So understand, when I'm talking about faith to move mountains, I'm talking about the power, the ability to move whatever the problem is in your life out of the way. So it's no longer a problem. And you have the faith to move mountains. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I want you to say, I have faith to move mountains.
I have the faith to move mountains.
See, we've got to start to understand and believe that we've got the faith to move mountains, or else we won't do it. And we will let those mountains sit there. And what happens with a lot of people, we start to stare at the problem. You know, we have this saying, making a mountain out of a molehill. Have you heard that? Right? What does that mean? That means that we look at the problem, we focus on the problem, we think about the problem, we worry about the problem, we talk about the problem. We're going to tell everybody we know about the problem. And what happens, the more we focus on the problem, the bigger the problem gets. And the bigger it gets, and the bigger it gets. And it's really getting bigger in our minds. It's getting bigger in our eyes. It's getting bigger in our hearts. It's getting bigger in our lives. But truthfully, the size of the problem hasn't changed, but your perception of the problem has changed. So the more you focus on it, the more you look at it, the bigger that it gets. And the harder it seems to overcome it. See, if we go out and we look at a mountain, we say, hey, we're going to move this mountain. Okay, let's find out, how much does the mountain weigh? All right, let's calculate that and figure out, how much does the mountain weigh? Well, how high is the mountain? Well, that high, we can measure and find out how tall exactly is this mountain. We'll mark that down too. Well, how wide is the base? I don't know. We're going to have to get somebody out here and measure that. And see, if we focus so much on all those physical characteristics, what do we know now? We know that's a big mountain. But we also start to now, the logical mind begins to put barricades in our way of all the reasons why it's impossible to move this mountain. The same thing is true of whatever problems you have in your life. The more you look at them and focus on them and analyze and look for the logical, you know, the logical things about it, the more you see how big it is and how hard it is to overcome. But this is not the way God works. God gives you the power to move mountains. He gives you the faith to move mountains. And so we need to shift and change our attention and our focus so that we can overcome every single thing that tries to stand against us. Say amen to that.
Amen.
How did God do it? How did God do when he wanted to change something? We can go back to the very beginning. We can take a look. When God was creating the world, you know, we think of, there was a void. There was emptiness. There was nothingness, really. What did God do? God spoke words of faith. So he used faith to change the situation. What was his mountain? His mountain was darkness. All there was darkness. And what did he say? He said, let there be light. And there was light. And then here's what he said about the light. He said, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. See, God didn't look at the darkness and, oh my God, it's so dark. How dark is it? I don't know. We can measure that maybe. He didn't say that. Instead, he started to focus on what he wanted, not what he didn't want. He wanted to bring light into the darkness. And now he separated. He gave a choice. Now we have a choice. This is what God is talking about here when he separated light and darkness. We now can choose light or we can choose darkness. It's great to have choice, isn't it? I like to go to the store and have choices. You know, I know Liza was telling me, you know, when they were in Russia and they'd go to the store, there was nothing on the shelves. That scared me. because that meant there's no choices. Here we can go to the store and we have like 7 different kinds of mustard to choose from, right? I don't even know which one there is, you know, which one to take because there's so many different kinds. But I like choice. I do like to have that. And God likes us to have choice too. And that's what he's doing here. He separates the light from the darkness so that we have choice. But also notice how he changed his situation, how he changed the world. He did it through saying what he wants, not what he doesn't want. And the same thing, here's how, when he comes and walks on the earth as Jesus, when God comes and walks on the earth as Jesus, he does the same thing. He implements the same problem. When he sees a crippled person, what does he say? Stand up and walk. He didn't say, oh, wow, man, you're really crippled. How long have you been in that chair? Oh, that long, wow. And what happened to your legs? And what does the doctor say? Well, that's really difficult. Oh, that's a problem. He didn't talk about, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in talking about what's wrong and we focus on it and we're trying to, like, you know, get into that mode of thinking. We pull ourselves into the darkness. And what we're trying to do is we need to shift our attention. Don't get focused on the molehill, man. Don't get focused on the molehill because it's going to get bigger. What did Jesus do? He says, stand up and walk. He proclaims it. And what happened? They stood up and they walked. They were healed. See, we receive our healing by focusing on that light. Now, that's the same thing that you can apply in your life too. God doesn't want you to get fixated or focused on what's wrong. He needs you to see the light. He needs you to see past that. Now, you might remember this story. This is a great example of it. There was this little widow woman. Not a widow woman. She was a widow who was a woman. And she had this problem. Her husband had died and left her all this debt. And now the debt collectors are coming. And the debt collectors have decided they're going to take her 2 sons. And they're going to make them work off this debt. Well, she doesn't like that idea. So what does this widow woman do? She goes out and she finds the man of God, Elijah. And she goes to him and she says, I got this problem. Debt collectors are coming. I got a big debt. I got no money to pay it. They want to take my sons. What can you do about it? He goes, what do you want from me? You know? But here's what he does. See, she's focused on what the problem is. There's a pile of debt that she's focused on. The debt collectors are coming. I'm sure fear was gripping her. Worry was gripping her. This is when we're slipping into the darkness at that time. This is when the darkness is all around us. But now, what does Elijah do? He says, what do you got? What do you have? And she says, I've got 1 little bottle of oil. He says, okay, here's what you do. Go around to all the neighbors, collect as many vessels, as many jars as you can, take them into your house. Once you've got them all in there, close the door, and then I want you to begin to pour that oil into the jars and into the vessels. And so she does. Her and her sons go around. They collect from all the neighbors all the jars and vessels they can get. And they close the door. And now the sons begin to bring these jars to her. And she starts to pour this little bottle of oil. And that little bottle of oil fills up 1 jar, fills up a 2nd jar, fills up a vessel, fills up another vessel. And it just keeps on going and going and going and going until every single pot and vessel is full of oil. And then it stops. The man of God, Elijah, says, take the vessels, sell them, pay your debt, and live on the rest. Say amen to that.
Amen.
See, what happened here is the man of God shifts her attention off of the problem, off of focusing on what's wrong, because she's consumed by that. And instead of looking at the darkness, we can't see a solution looking at the darkness. We've got to turn to the light. She knew enough to do that because she went to the man of God. Why did she go to the man of God? Because a man of God is anointed. He's got the anointing on him, and the anointing is the light. Remember, I said God separated the light from the darkness. So you can choose light or you can choose darkness. The woman knew enough in her time of need, when the darkness was closing in, when she couldn't see a solution, to go to the man of God, the one who is anointed. In going to the one who is anointed, that light suddenly helps you to see clearly. And he's able to point out what to do. Here's what you do. What do you got? See, he refocused her. He turned her attention from what she didn't have to what she did have. Now she sees I've got this little bit of oil. The minute she starts to focus on what she does have, now a solution comes to light. For every single problem that you have, there is already a solution. There's already a solution waiting. Now, why is that? If we go back to Genesis, in the book of Genesis, God, when he was working, he's creating the earth, on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. He was finished creating. He was already finished. And how long did he rest? Well, actually, God is resting to eternity because he already did everything he ever had to do for you. He already created every solution and every opportunity. He already did it. See, he finished before he started. That's how God works. Now, that's kind of an odd concept for us because we usually have to start before we can finish. But with God, he already knows the end from the beginning, and his plan is all-encompassing, that he already knows what's going to happen, and he has already provided a solution for that problem. You already have the solution. But to see the solution, now, see, so he created that from the very beginning. He already finished. He's resting. A lot of us, we're waiting on God. We're calling out to God, saying, God, help me. Help me, God. Why aren't you helping me? God is resting. Why is God resting? Because he already has given the help. You already have the help. But now you've got to know how to receive the help. See, you got to know how do I get the help? Because it's already been given. He just has to rest and relax. Now, the same thing happened when he was walking on the earth as Jesus. What did he do? When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. And then he let his spirit go, and that was it. Now, what is he saying it's finished? He's saying that his work is finished. His work, so that you can have everything you need and everything you want, is done. So what's Jesus doing? Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, it says in the scripture. What's he doing? He's resting. He's not doing anything. He's already finished. So again, we don't have to call on him to do something. He's already done it. It's finished already, meaning every solution that you need is already given. He's resting. What they're waiting for is they're waiting for you. They're waiting for you because you have the faith to move mountains, and they're waiting for you to get the revelation of what they've already done, what they already said, so that once you get that, and that's why I'm talking about renewing minds, I'm talking about you renewing your mind so you can get the understanding, you've already got the power to overcome every single problem that you ever will have had, ever could have.
Amen.
And you've also got the power to help somebody else. Like the widow woman, right? That's the power that's there. Let's go to a verse here. Now, let's see here. We looked at, Now, I talked about the anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing is the power of God upon you. It is the light. When we have the anointing, we have the light. We want to have the light. Why? Because if we have the light, then we can see the solution. You can't see the solution in the dark. Here in John chapter 1, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's talking about Jesus. The light was the light. In him was life, and it was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. See, the darkness can't comprehend the light. If we're in the darkness, we don't understand the things of God. We don't understand that light that he is. We don't understand how he works. We're confused, and all we see is more darkness. When we talk about facing our problems, and I say you have the faith to move mountains, if all you see is the mountain, if all you see is the problem, then you're in the darkness, and you can't see a solution in the darkness because you can't comprehend the light. And yet, every solution has already been given by God, and it's yours. It's yours, and it's waiting for you. And it's not hidden from you, it's hidden for you. And the minute you can now stand in the light, you will understand and you will receive the solution to your problem. Say amen to that. That's the power that God has given us. In John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So he's talking about here again that the light comes into the world. God comes into the world as the light. Why? Because he wants us to have a choice. We can choose between light and darkness. I can say that another way. We can choose between problems and solutions. I can say that another way. We can choose between cursing and blessing. Oh, I can say that another way. We can choose between failure and success. God wants us to have the choice. And so he comes into the world. He brings the light. He had to bring it in there so we could now see it. Because we need to awaken. Because the darkness doesn't comprehend the light. It doesn't understand the things of God. And if it can't understand the things of God, now it can't work the way God worked. Which means everything God created from the beginning, which was for our success, if we don't comprehend it and we can't use it, we can't benefit from it. So we've got to receive that light so that we can benefit from it. So, now, let me talk about this, because it talks about we love darkness. You get used to something. Sometimes you get used to something, and you're familiar with it. It's something you've done all the time, and it may not be good for you. Might be a habit. Might be a habit that you have. It might be just the way you are, and you continually, you keep running into the same problem in your life. But you're used to it, so you just keep doing that. That's when you're in the darkness. You just keep, because you love it more than you love the light. But there's a solution. Because remember what I was saying here. Now, I read in this verse here right at the end, it said, because their deeds were evil. There's a solution for that. Forgiveness. God has given us forgiveness. We don't have to condemn ourselves. We don't have to beat ourselves up that maybe we made the same mistake 100 times. It doesn't matter because God has already forgiven us. And we can receive that forgiveness. And when we receive the forgiveness, and that's why I say repeatedly to you, don't beat yourselves up. Don't condemn yourselves for making the same mistake 1,000 times if it was. Because if you beat yourself up, you put yourself back in the darkness. You put yourself further in the darkness. And God gives you forgiveness. And he forgives you because that lightens the load so that now you no longer love what you've gotten used to, which isn't helpful, but now you can come out from under that and step into the blessing of God, which is the light. You can now step into the blessing. You can step into the happiness. You can step into the love. You can step into the joy. And that's what God wants for you. So we don't have to get caught up in the fact that, well, you might have made a mistake 1,000 times. What you should get caught up in is that God has forgiven me and that I have that forgiveness totally and completely. And that yesterday, it's like yesterday never happened in God's eyes. Whatever happened yesterday, God has blotted it out. And he will remember it no more, is what it says in the scripture. He doesn't remember it anymore. Because he wants you to start a fresh and new life today. He wants you to start a fresh and new life today so that you can now start to walk in the light. Which means have the solutions. Let's talk a little bit more about the anointing. Because I said the anointing is the light. Says here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, this is Jesus. He has gone to a synagogue. He has opened the scripture of Isaiah. Isaiah wrote this some 600 years before Jesus ever walked on the earth. And Jesus opens this scripture, which was his custom. And now he's reading in the synagogue. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed that scripture. Once he had finished reading it, he sat down and he said, this day, that is fulfilled. He said, it is fulfilled. See, Jesus Christ is not his last name. Christ is actually meaning the anointed one. Is Jesus the anointed one? He has the anointing. He says, he has anointed me. Jesus is the anointed one. Now, what that means is that everybody that believes in him, everybody that believes that this was God that came on the earth and overcame all problems, all difficulties, all darkness, if anybody believes that, now what happens is you receive the anointing. So it's Jesus, the anointed one, and when you believe in him, you receive the anointing. We can go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Here's what John says. John was a disciple of Jesus. It says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." So Jesus, so John is saying, "But you have an anointing." He's talking to you. He's saying, "You have an anointing from the Holy One." The Holy One is Jesus, because Jesus was the anointed. You believe in him, you receive the anointing. You have the anointing now, and you know all things. You know all. Don't give me those eyes. You know all things. You, I'm talking to all of you, not just a few of you, all of you. You have the anointing, and you know all things. You see, why did the widow woman go to the man of God? Because he had the anointing. Back then, only a few prophets had the anointing, because it would come down upon them, but it was only a select few. It wasn't very many. But after God came down and walked on the earth, Jesus, the anointed one, and people started believing, this is the anointed one. They now received the anointing. That means there wasn't just a few people that had the anointing. Everybody had the anointing. Now, what did I say about the anointing? Why did the widow woman go to the man of God? Because the anointing is the light. Because the anointing is the solution. Because when you have the anointing, and that anointing is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, when that anointing is upon you, you now can begin to see and comprehend what happens, how you now work in the kingdom of God. You can begin to see it. And when you understand that, now you have the solution to everything you need in your life. Just like the widow woman was able to get the solution from that guy that had the anointing, you have the anointing. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Say, I have the anointing.
I have the anointing.
And I know all things.
I know all things.
Now, why do you know all things? You know all things because when you have the anointing, you're connected to God, and God can tell you everything. You comprehend now the light. The light is the truth of God. The truth of God is all the wisdom of God. If you have the anointing, you now have comprehension of the light, of the things of God, of his wisdom. Without it, you're in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend the light. Got it? If you have the anointing, which when you believe in God came down and walked on the earth, you now have that anointing. You are the anointed. You have the solution to all of your problems, because now you can see it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. Are you still with me? You're still hanging on there? I know some of you are still trying to digest that you know all things. You do. You do. See, I got to get through to you. I got to get through to you that, so your mind can be renewed and begin to think in a higher level. Because we often say, well, I don't know that. But all the things of God that you need to know, you will know when you need to know them. Exactly when you need to know them, you will know them. Why? Because God already knew the beginning from the end from the beginning. Remember, he finished before he started. He already gave you the solution to all the problems, even before you had the problem. Even before you existed, he gave the solution to that problem that you're worried about. Meaning, don't worry about it. Stop worrying. And start believing that you've got the solution. And you know all things. Because you are the anointed one. You have the anointing from the anointed one, is the way I should say that. You have the anointing. And you know all things. Check this out. Okay. Have this friend. And our friend, he made an investment. And the investment started to go pretty sour. He started losing a lot of money. And you know what happens when you're losing a lot of money? You start to feel a lot of pressure. You start to feel a lot of fear. You start to feel a lot of tension. Everything starts to look pretty dark. And the money was going pretty fast. What did he do? He called Liza and me. And he started telling us what was happening. Now, see, when things start to go bad, we really get focused on it. Remember, I was talking about making mountains out of molehills, right? He's now, all he's doing is looking at this problem. He's looking at this problem, and it's consuming him. But Liza said something very interesting to him. She said, look for an opportunity to make an investment where you can recover, make up for this bad investment. I don't know if that's exactly how she said it, but something to that effect. She was saying, look for an opportunity. See, what he was doing is he was focusing on what he was losing. He was focusing on what was going bad. And as a result of it, he couldn't see the other opportunities that were already waiting. Well, he gets off the phone. Here's what he said. Got off the phone. He's sitting there, and now his mind has shifted. And he's now looking for an opportunity. And he's thinking, and he's looking, and he's thinking. And suddenly, as he's sitting there, in the background, the TV is playing, and the news comes on, and it says something. And whatever it said, it triggered his mind, and it gave him an idea for another investment. And he realized, that's it. And he now goes and he invests based on what he heard, and this investment ends up making double what he lost. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I didn't like that. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, that's better. See, that's the thing is, the solution was already there for his problem. But he got so fixated on the problem, all he could see, he had fear, he saw darkness, he saw money disappearing, he saw what he didn't have. Liza refocused him and said, there's an opportunity, look for it. The minute he started to focus on the solution and look for the solution, the light comes on, right? The light comes on, he sees the opportunity for an investment. He invests and he makes twice as much as he lost. It doubled. That's the blessing of the Lord on people. That's the blessing of the Lord that's on your life too. That's the blessing of the Lord. And that's the same for every single problem and situation in your life that tries to come against you. We've got to refocus. We've got the faith to move mountains, but we got to stop focusing on the mountain. We got to start focusing on the opportunity and the solution. You've already been given the opportunity and the solution. It's already been done. Remember, God's resting. Why? Because he already gave you it. Now it's just a matter of us renewing our minds, opening our perception, and seeing the opportunity that's already waiting for us right there in that minute so that you can receive it and be blessed too. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You've got the faith to move mountains. You are the anointed one. You know all things. You'll know exactly what you need to know when you need to know it, because that's the plan of God, and you have it. You've already got it on the inside. You've already got that power on the inside, and all you have to do now is take your eyes off of the problem and look at the solution.